Last week we were looking at 1 Corinthians 15, and that's where we'll start again today. Previously, we looked at the fact of the resurrection from the dead. And we saw, of course, that we saw that in the Old Testament, where Old Testament saints expected that, and it was taught to them through the prophets. And we also saw our Lord's teaching in the New Testament concerning the resurrection from the dead. And now what we're doing is we're looking at the apostles' teachings concerning it. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we were looking at the part of these verses here that Paul was using to answer the question, what kind of body do we have when we're raised? And last week, as we were looking there, starting at verse 42, we see that he tells us some things about this body in comparison. And we saw that it was sown in corruption. And we talked about how our bodies are deteriorating, how even when we do place them in the grave, they go back to the dust that they were made out of. And when it's raised so that that body will not do that anymore. It's raised in incorruption. There will not be any deterioration to our new body throughout the ages of the times that our Lord has planned for us when He comes back for us. And then it says it's sown in dishonor. Again, we saw how our bodies are used to dishonor God and to dishonor ourselves, and how when we are raised, we'll be raised in glory. All that God intended for us when He created Adam will be again restored to us. And then the last thing that we sort of rushed through was that it's sown a natural body, and it's raised a spiritual body. And I was trying to show you here that this is not the statements here is not the idea that here we are something that's of this world, and then when we're raised we're some ethereal kind of being that floats around and, you know, ghost type thing that just floats around as a spirit someplace. The idea being here, it's sown as a body that's controlled by the natural person that we are, the nature that we have right now. And when it's raised as a spiritual body, raised as one that is controlled by the Spirit. And we have corroboration for that back in Romans chapter 8. So I'm going to ask you to look back there briefly with me just to see what we're talking about. Remember, we got the same person writing here. So he's going to write the same kinds of things. And at verse 11... we'll jump back there. And if in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And then he continues that entire chapter speaking about the Spirit-controlled life. And that's exactly what's going to happen to us. As we see, he spoke about the fact that earlier in Romans, he says, the things that I would do, I don't. Okay? But when we receive this new body, then it will be controlled by the Spirit, and we will do all the things that are the right things to do all the time, every day. There won't be a time when we don't do what we're supposed to do. Okay? And so that is a great blessing to us, especially when we do realize how futile it is for us to try to do the things that we should do. I don't know, are any of you that way? I mean, you know, I know that I shouldn't do such and such, and yet, no matter how hard I do it, eventually I slip. Okay? And you know, sometimes we're conquerors, but other times we're overcome. And this is one of the blessings of the new body. Then he explains it a little bit further in the next verse in 1 Corinthians 15. So we'll begin here now at 1 Corinthians 15:45. And he says, don't take my word for it. He says, it's written. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, he goes back and he says, let's compare the first man, Adam, and Jesus Christ, the second Adam. And he's used these phrases in other places in his writing so that we understand what he's talking about. But what happened way back in Genesis? How familiar are you there with the creation story? Okay, God goes through all the days and then he comes to the sixth day. And there was this picture of a council in heaven. And what do they say? Is that familiar with you? Let us make man in our own image. Okay? And then there's the procedure. What happened? God formed a body in the dust from the dust of the ground. And then what? He breathed life into it. And again, that term breathing, the idea was he put a spirit into him. Okay? So the procedure here was he got a body first. And then God made it alive. And then it says man became a living soul or a being. Okay, and so the order of the first man was that he started out with just this body of dust, and then the spirit was put into it, and he became a living being. On the other hand, what about Jesus Christ? How did he start? You know, if we can say start. He was spirit to begin with. And then God made him a body within his mother Mary. So you see, the order is different in it. And so he's saying here, since we have this, you know, this order, Adam is body, then spirit to become the living being. And then Christ was spirit into a body to become a living being. And then he says he's a quickening spirit. He had life in him. Okay, what does he say about himself? I am the resurrection and the life. We look at another one. I am the bread of life. There's some more there. I can't remember what all they were. But he says, I'm the life. I'm the life. Okay? And so he is made a living spirit. Okay, was made a living spirit. How be it? That was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Okay? The first man was Adam. He was the natural one. The one that started off with the body. And so he's talking about him a little bit further here, and he goes on, but that which is natural afterwards, then came Christ, which is the spiritual one. And of course we know Adam was controlled by what? The flesh. And because he was controlled by the flesh, when God says, this is what you're supposed to do, this is what you're supposed to not do, what did he do? He did according to the flesh. He ate of the tree that he was not supposed to eat of. What about Christ? What's that? He didn't sin. He tells us when he comes, wish I could. Things would come to me straighter here. My purpose or goal is to what? Always do to please my Father, to do my Father's will. And all through his life, he was controlled by the Spirit, not by the flesh. When he goes up on the Mount of Temptation, the temptations that came to him were what? Of the flesh. 40 days without eating, and he says, make some bread here so that you can satisfy your flesh. Cast yourself down here and test, see whether God will protect your flesh from smashing up on the rocks down below the temple. Fall down and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Satisfy your flesh. And yet Christ does not, because he's controlled by the Spirit. All right. Then he goes on and says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. Okay. Again, so he was taken out of the earth. He is here. He's controlled by the things that are here. And the second man is Lord from heaven. Okay, so we have a difference from them, all right, comparing the two. This one is all of the earth, Adam. The Lord is all of heaven, come to earth. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, Okay? As we are like Adam was. Okay? Have we not borne his image? Okay? Born in his image. Followed along. We shall then also do what? Okay, is there some other place that says that? When we shall see him, we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. Okay? And so we're going to bear his image. And just as he was controlled by the Spirit, we will be controlled by the Spirit. Just as he was raised incorruptible, we will. Okay? As he was raised to life, we will be raised to life. As he has everlasting life, we're going to have the same thing. Because in Adam, all die. Okay? We bear his image. Therefore, what is common to Adam is common to us. And because we will bear his image, what is common to him will be common to us. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now again, my warning is, never get carried away with speculation and claim it as fact. All right? Because we don't know for sure. Right, a lot of people will take this particular verse and say that we don't have flesh and we don't have blood. Okay? Or they will take it and say, well, other places say, well, you know, we'll have flesh, but we don't have blood. I don't know. Okay? The idea here is when he uses the term flesh and blood, means what? In the context of this. As long as we're the natural man, as long as we're still earthy, okay, that's a term, flesh. I'm just more clear, you know, pure flesh and blood, okay, I cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What, didn't he tell Nicodemus this? Okay? He did. Isn't this what he preached to Nicodemus? If this is all you are, you can't inherit the kingdom of God. You must be born from above. Okay? To enter the kingdom of God. And he says, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Again, just a re-emphasis of that. Just as we are corrupting, we can't go back and inherit something that's not what we are. Okay? So we have to be born again. And in doing that, then we can become part of the kingdom of God. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Okay? Because we know from other scriptures that when will this particular thing happen, when we shall be raised incorruptible and so on like that. We know there is a particular point in time when that will happen. Okay? When he comes. And the worry then of these believers that he's just told what the resurrection body is going to be was, oh, what if I'm not dead? What if I haven't died? And so he goes ahead and he answers their question. I want to show you something here. We're not all going to be dead, he says, when the Lord comes. Okay? But I want you to know that if you are born again, that you will still be changed just like the resurrected believers are. Okay? It's not something you need to worry about. Okay? So therefore, we don't go about trying to kill ourselves. We don't try to get in the grave as fast as we can. Okay? Because we still have the same promise, we just won't have to go through that particular process to get there. We will be changed just like those who have already died. He says, when will it happen? In a moment. How fast will it happen? In a moment. Yep. Really, really short period of time for us. In the twinkling of an eye. Okay. Which is so fast that we hardly ever see it happen. Okay. We don't notice it. See, I'm looking back here. A lot of you are blinking at me. And did you notice that? You still see me? You didn't lose me for an hour and a half when between blinks, did you? Well, some of us do. But in the twinkling of an eye. Okay? It's going to happen. At the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. There's an order to things. It says they'll be raised incorruptible and will be changed to be incorruptible. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So here's another thing that he adds on to it. This mortal, the fact that we can die. Okay, the fact that we can die has to be put off. Because this new body that we're going to have can't die. Okay, very important. Understand that. Can't die. I don't know whether it'll be to, we can't be injured or anything when we're out there plugging away. Doing stuff anymore? Probably not. Okay, be smart enough not to stick my hand in the whirling wheel, and I know I shouldn't do it. That's part of our corruption there. I mean, how many of you have been tempted to fix the lawnmower when it's still running? You know, reach in there and grab something. You know, or reach in that snowblower and pull the snow out that got clogged in it while the thing's still going around. I don't know. Some of us are real stupid, you know. I include myself with that. Fortunately, I still have all 10 of them here. Okay. I lose fingernails often, but the fingers are still there. But we're going to be so that we can't die. And so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Paul just loves to tell you stuff that's already been written down. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, because in the law says, if you do this, you shall die. Okay? For the wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is everlasting life. And so we have how the body is raised. We've seen when it is raised. We've also have the comfort that we who remain shall be changed also, and from these verses here. And we don't need to worry about that. Now, are there any other questions that arise then that are still left in your minds concerning these things? In 2 Corinthians, Paul gives another discourse concerning the resurrection to them. Okay? So it's very important, a very important thing, very important part of the gospel. When Paul preached the gospel to people, did he tell them this important fact? All you need to do is to go to the sermon that he gets to preach on Mars Hill. Okay? Because he got to preach all the way down to the end. And when he came to the fact of the resurrection of the dead, that's when he had problems. You know, they started to question what he was saying. But it says many of them said, we'll want to hear more about this. All right. So the preaching of the gospel includes this. And in 2 Corinthians 4:14, he starts and says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. So he's saying, here is the reason why we are raised. And then as he proceeds into the next chapter, I'm in the wrong. Went the wrong way here. What's he say? We heard this on Friday, if you were here. What's he say? Come on. You can't let me do all the work up here. I'm too tired to do that. I'm closer to corruption here than some of you. What's he say? Okay. Last time I went through this with a class, the idea here is if this earthly tabernacle, and the idea is a tent. Okay, the idea here is the tent, and it's the old idea that you're out here with the Boy Scouts, all you got your tent all picked up, and you're sleeping there at night. And some of your rowdy buddies get up with their knife out, and they come around and they click, 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 click all the ropes around the tent. And what happens to the tent? Deflates. Laying down there on top of you. Okay? And so that's sort of the idea here of our earthly tabernacle being dissolved. It's being taken down real fast. Okay? Unexpectedly. Okay? And so he says, when that happens, when our earthly house this body is gone, we don't have to worry. Why? We have a building of God, something that God built for us, because it's a house that's what? Not made with hands. And it is eternal. It can't be dissolved. It's something that's going to be eternal. Okay? For in this, we do what? We groan. I can remember, when Mother was here with me at the last, we get her up in the morning. First thing you heard, as soon as you grabbed her to pick her, ow! And I say the same thing sometimes when I try to roll out of the bed. Ow! Okay? It hurts. Okay? For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon. We as Christians never desire to be dead. Okay? That's something that's very important. We never desire to be dead. We desire to have the new body. We don't desire to have this one all the time. We desire to get clothed by the body that's waiting for us, that Christ has made for us in the resurrection. And he says, for if so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Okay? Without a body. For it, we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. There he says it. Okay? We don't desire to get rid of the body. All right, now I know sometimes we feel that way. The big thing that we want is that new body. That's why we don't go about committing suicide. Okay? No matter how much this body decays on us while we're still alive, our desire is not so much to get rid of the body, but to get that new body. We always look forward to that. We're always looking forward to that. And so he goes on and continues, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up by life. The Christian is a person that loves life. The believer is a person that goes after life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Okay? Now, we've read back there in the 1 Corinthians, our body is raised a what? We've sown a natural body, and it's raised a spiritual body. One that is controlled by the Spirit. And even though we're stuck here in this natural body and all the problems that are associated with it, what do we have? We have the earnest, or the what? What's another word for earnest? confident? I couldn't hear what. I still can't hear you. I got an air conditioner in my ear. Confidence. Yeah, there's confidence in an earnest. Yeah. All right. Earnest. What's the practical? What? A down payment. Okay. Old-fashioned word for down payment. Okay. We have a down payment of the fact that we are going to have this spiritual body, the one that's controlled by the Spirit, because now we are indwelt by our down payment, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit.
I say a portion of that which will be a
completion. Oh, yeah. And that's what a down payment is, right? It's a piece of the whole thing. So we have the down payment already with us. And so right now, as we live in this mortal body, we have the advantage of experiencing some of what it's going to be like when we get our new body. Okay? And that's why Paul writes back in Romans that we don't have to be 100% controlled by the flesh. Okay? Because we have the Spirit already to help us in the remaining time that we have here in this natural body. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. Okay, as long as we live here in this body, we're absent from the presence of the Lord. Because we all know, where's the Lord at? Where? He's in heaven. Seated at the right hand of his Father. Where his Father has said, put your feet up here on this footstool and rest for a while until it's time. So all your enemies have been placed under your feet. Okay? And then, so we're absent from him while we're still here. But we do have the down payment. Okay? We got the money in hand right now, so to speak. And I got to keep my finger there so I don't keep losing where I'm at. Where did I leave?
Six
is where I'm at. Okay. We're absent from the Lord. Four, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's just not thrown in there. Okay. We walk by faith, not by sight. We have the down payment. Okay. It dwells within us. We don't see new immortal fingers starting to grow. Okay? We're walking by faith, knowing that when the time comes, that we will have immortal fingers that are there. We are confident. We rest assured, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Yeah, we have this big desire. Okay? We're willing to be out of this body because when we're out of the body, then we are present with the Lord. Okay? Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so as Paul speaks here, he says, yeah, our desire is to be absent from here and present with Him. Okay? But we're not going to do what? To make that happen. We're not going to do what? We're not going to go out trying to kill ourselves to get there. Okay? It's just our desire. I mean, our desire is to be with Him. All right? But whether we're still here, He says, what are we going to do? As long as I'm here, still here, I'm going to do what? I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. And He says, I'm going to continue to work. Continue to labor. Whether present or absent. Uh-oh. What did He just tell you about what's going to happen in the hereafter? Yeah, we're going to get to that here in a minute. But right there in that verse, whether present or absent. What? Yeah. But He says here, wherefore we what? Labor. That whether present or absent, we'll be. Yeah, we're still going to do our work. Okay? That's something about the hereafter. There's still going to be some work for us to do. Okay? So don't get this weird idea that we're just going to be laying back there on the beautiful beaches and getting a suntan every day. And all right? God still has something for us to do in His eternal plan. Okay? It's not, you're done. Okay? You don't get to totally retire, so to speak. You're still going to have something to do. And the reason why is, right now we do it because we may be accepted of Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is not just in this particular one, statement here, while it directed at believers. Okay? The same thing is also true about unbelievers. They're all going to appear before a judgment seat in which Christ sits. Now, here we have a directive for the believers that we're going to sit there. Okay? And then we'll receive, based on what it is that we do in our bodies. So, what we do here, how our body, this corruptible thing, is controlled right now by the Spirit that dwells in us, is very important. Because we're going to be judged upon how we have lived, especially after the fact that we've received that Spirit to live within us. So it's very important when we look at the ideas of the resurrection that we have these understandings. Because now we know at the end of the resurrection, we're going to stand, He says. And we're going to stand before Christ at a judgment. Okay? Now, as we look further at the resurrection, we're going to be looking at the resurrection of the unsaved. And see what's going to happen at that resurrection. Okay? And see how it compares to the resurrection for us. And so we'll try to get into that next week when we look at the resurrection. Be thinking of questions that you might have. concerning about the resurrection. And I'll let you know whether we can speculate about them or not. Well, we never speculate, right? We only go about what's written. And so that's what we need to look at. And we can be satisfied with what God has told us because we live by faith, not by sight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. And now as we go to our next service, I would ask that you might touch each one of our hearts and minds with the word that will be preached to us. And as we rejoice with each other in song and in prayer, we pray that each of our worship time might be acceptable to you. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.